Hey folks, Matt Richards here. Welcome to the Complete Marketer Podcast 2.0. And if you're interested in how you can use social media to attract prospects inside of your business, how you can qualify people with content, how you can collapse timeframes, and how you can attract the right type of customer for your business consistently utilizing social media marketing, then I've got a special episode for you today. This is actually a video replay or a podcast replay of a training that I did for a lady over in Canada called Anna Stanton. She's a content creation specialist. She actually invited me to do a live talk, a live interview that was shared on an event that she did recently. And we went into great detail about content creation, how to establish a brand, how to attract the right type of audience, and more importantly, how to build that huge movement of momentum and influence by utilizing social media content. So I wanted to share that with you in today's episode. So without further ado, I'm going to click that play button. If you enjoyed today's episode and you get some great value from this podcast, from this YouTube video, wherever you're listening to this, make sure you subscribe and also check out the links in the description for some additional resources.
So Matt is an expert in social media marketing and content creation. He helps people to collapse timeframes, build their audience, and create a magnetic social brand. So welcome, Matt.
Cheers. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me here in front of all these awesome people as well. Really appreciate everybody checking in. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. So Matt, tell us a little bit about your story and how you came to be a content creation expert.
I'll be honest. I probably took the scenic route. I came into this industry best part of 10 years ago, escaping giving me something to do other than taking drugs. You know, that was basically where I was at. So I used to be I used to work in a warehouse and also a builder. And in my part time, I was a semi-professional mixed martial artist, or what's been known as a cage fighter, right? And I was very good. And I was going places and doing extremely well for myself. I won 8 gold medals. I was undefeated for like 3 years. I was undefeated as a cage fighter, getting ready to take on like title fights, etc., doing extremely well. And then I made a couple of bad decisions and became a class A drug addict. And I ruined the entire career and all everything I'd worked for within the space of about 6 months. And then spent the next 2 years battling to kind of, stop taking drugs, stop doing crazy stuff, stop going missing for days and ends, stop doing all the horrible drinking, etc. Severe mental health issues was obviously a byproduct of that. I was in a mess. So my wife, my girlfriend back then, but now my wife, had to marry her. She stuck me with me through all this, so I'm not going to find another one like her, that's for sure. But literally going back all that time ago, she went online, these online business things, you know, joined up with somebody, and I was like, well, it's going to give me something to drugs, making a mess of my life. And I was going through such a horrible time back then. For the best part of 2 years, I was going through that space. So coming online, started this crazy development of like personal development, you know, reading books, networking, connecting with people. And then I just found myself going further and further down the rabbit hole. You know, I started to make some money online. I did extremely well. I came out of my day job. I started helping a bunch of people end up on stage, speaking in front of 5,000 people, which was wild because I'm just some dude with no qualifications or nothing who used to get punched in the face for a living. Yeah. It just like one big snowball effect. And I realized after a period of time, I wanted the people to experience the opportunity to kind of like, no matter where you're from or what you do, if you put time into studying and learning something and serving a particular type of audience consistently for a period of time, you can almost get whatever you want from life, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been the case for me over the best part of 10 years now, is, you know, being able to create an online business, create multiple businesses off the back of our brand, create content that's been downloaded like 55 different countries, and being able to help a bunch of people all over the world. And that's kind of how I got into it. I got into it running away from something, but I got chased into maybe something that I was destined to do. You know, I don't know. It's not the end of my life yet. No. I'm not, fingers crossed. I've got plenty more years left. But for now, it definitely feels like I kind of got chased into the right path, or fate, or whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I love, like, there's so much opportunity online. I don't like it when people say, it's instant and it's, you know, anybody can go viral in a second, all that stuff. But there's so much opportunity, like you said, when you show up and you put the work in. And it's interesting because a lot of people get their start through network marketing, and it gets, you know, I feel like network marketing has a bad name, but they actually teach a lot of great information. You meet a lot of people. Like, the concepts of network marketing, I actually feel are really actually a great foundation for business. I mean, it's actually not all bad. People give it a bad name, but
I mean, the thing is with a bad name, like it's kind of like there's an element of it getting a bad name which it doesn't deserve, and there's an element of it getting a bad name which it does deserve. You know, and it's nothing to do with the actual model, apart from obviously the Ponzi schemes and the scams, but they're just scams. Like at the end of the day, they're just scams. I'm not gonna talk about that, but even legitimate businesses, like businesses that have been here for 10, 20, 30 years, the big issue is you've got people inside of them that are either going to be ethical or unethical.
Yeah.
And as a byproduct of that, the industry will get a bad name. But overall, network marketing for me was, it wasn't so much the money and the income, which was great. We made a lot of money in network marketing back then and changed our life with it. And that was the first way that I kind of got out of a day job. But for me, it was the personal development journey. It was the idea of being able to connect with wealthy people. I mean, you know, if you was to go back 10, 15, 20 years, to speak with somebody who's a potential millionaire, you'd have to write letters or beg or borrow or do whatever
you open their doorstep.
Get high enough in this food chain to be able to contact people like that. Yes. But network marketing makes the world feel very small. Like you can connect with six-figure earners, you can connect with people who've built large businesses, you can connect with people who have fantastic skills outside of network marketing as well. Like I've connected with obviously a lot of different people in terms of solicitors, lawyers. There's a lot of different people in network marketing, doctors. You can learn from a lot of really interesting people. So that was the big thing for me, not so much the flexibility and the freedom, because some people do experience that and some people don't.
Yeah.
But I think absolutely anybody at any level can experience the personal development aspect, you know, being able to connect with different types of people, being able to sort of go and ask questions from people that are successful and take something from that. And that was the big thing for me, was to have the confidence and to have the sort of foundation to, although it's not really my business, I'm a representative of the company, it still gives me enough freedom to feel, you know, get the feeling of what it's like to kind of run a business, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and then you can turn it into your own. Well, I love hearing people's entrepreneurial journeys, because everybody on this summit has had a winding path. I don't know if anybody just jumps right in. So initially I came across Matt when I was doing you're going to hear on this summit today, like, you know, where do you find new people? Where do you go? Well, Facebook groups is a really great place to find new people and to see what's going on. And so I had, I was just Googling one day, looking up groups, and Matt's got a really great keyword group, Digital Marketing Academy, Get More Leads, Client Sales in Less Time. So I hopped into his group, I go in a lot of groups and they don't all grab me. And then I leave some groups, or I participate, you know, depending on what the group, like, feel kind of is. They all have a personality. And Matt's just always grabs my attention. So I love digesting your content. I love how you show up. When I was building this summit, I was like, oh, who do I want to come and have and talk to people? And so, yeah, you know, you're on the list. But, you know, Matt continues to add value all the time. In simple, like, it sounds like it's, I shouldn't say simple. It sounds simple. It sounds common sense, but it's just the way that you present it comes across that way. And, you know, you just share continuously. And I think people have this fear that, well, if I tell people too much, then they won't buy from me. And that's absolutely not true. Like, when you build connection and give value. So I want to just hand it over to Matt, and he's going to talk to us about how to create content that qualifies prospects and saves you time grinding your inbox. Because I know people also were like, well, I can't spend all this time in my inbox.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is the thing. Like, a lot of things that you hear online, and I'm not going to kind of go against anybody that, well, I kind of am going to go against what people are saying, I'll be honest. Like, this whole thing with relationship building, right? So, like, you've got to build relationships, you've got to build relationships, you've got to build relationships. Now, to me, the big issue is with building relationships is it's okay if you're building relationships with somebody that you know is qualified. You know, if I spend like 2 or 3 months talking to somebody back and forth, like just to build rapport, like some people do, and then that person's never, ever going to invest in me, I do see that as a bit of a waste of time. Mm-hmm. Like, I know some people are like, well, that's like not nice because you're meeting new people, you're connecting with new people. But I'm going to be totally honest with you. Listen, I've got 3 kids. I homeschool full time. I've got businesses to run. I've got a house that's like, you clean it and it's a waste of time, so the kids wreck it again.
I've got
so much stuff to be doing. I've got my own family. Even like my mom, I see her once a week. I see my other relatives every couple of weeks. I don't even have time to build relationships with the people that I spend the most time with and the people that I love with all my heart, you know? So the idea of building relationships with hundreds of people on the internet, as nice as that sounds, to me, I find it extremely unrealistic. Mm-hmm. But the only time that is realistic is if it comes at the cost of my family. See, and this was me when I first built my business. I was like sending loads and loads of messages, contacting people. But what I'd be doing is at the dinner table when I should be talking to my kids and asking how their day was or whatever, I'd be like this.
Yeah.
And then when I go and visit my family members, I should be seeing how they are. I haven't seen my mom for a week. I should be, you know, hugging, kissing her. I should be saying, man, I'm so glad to see you. Because we don't know how much longer we're going to get with like different people, right? So like I should be making the most of it, but I'm not. I'm here checking messages and messaging back to people. Sitting down at night time, I should be spending time with my wife, but I'm not. I'm sending messages. So I'm building relationships with a bunch of strangers on the internet that I'm never going to meet at the cost of the people that I should be spending the most amount of time with, because mm-hmm. we don't know how long we're here or how long we've got or what's around the corner. So to me, I thought to myself, if I keep doing this, then I've got to find a way of collapsing those time frames. So what I can do is I can build rapport and build trust to qualify my prospects. And then if I want to build a bit of a relationship later on, that's fine, because I know we have stuff in common. I know there's potential gains for both of us here. Maybe I'll get a client and this person gets value. We're both happy here. But the reality is this, everybody in life is looking for something. Mm-hmm. Like nobody goes on the internet and they're like, wow, I just want to have 20 new best friends today. You know, they're thinking like they want content, they want a distraction, they want to learn something, they want to know something. So to me, it's about understanding what this particular target market wants. And that is the key to creating good content, really, is being able to understand your prospect probably better than they understand themselves. And that was kind of what gave me a lot of sort of great content over the years. Was I was that business builder who was messaging a ton of people. I was that business builder who was kind of like, I'll be there in a minute. And I'm on my phone for like 8, 9, 10 hours a day. You know what I mean? I was the business builder of go on holiday. This one drives me insane, but this was me as well. Where you go on holiday, take pictures all day about how great it is to be working on holiday when you've got your laptop. And I'm like, hold on a minute. I didn't even do that when I used to work in a factory or a warehouse. Like work would be the last thing on my mind. So why am I doing it now with my own business when I'm supposed to be free, right? And all I'm doing is taking selfies on the beach with a laptop or whatever. And like, so the whole idea for me is thinking, right, I need to collapse those timeframes. So to be able to collapse timeframes and to be able to take people along that journey quicker, first and foremost, you got to wonder what they want, what they need. You got to figure that out. So you need to build some sort of image of the perfect person that you would like to work with. Mm-hmm. So if you've got an idea of who this might be, you're lucky. Some people don't. But to give it away, easy enough, just think of yourself but 3 or 4 steps behind. Because you've lived the life, you've come to a certain area of your life or a certain area of expertise. I'm not saying you have to be a six-figure or anything like that. But the chances are, if you're watching, you know, a summit like this, or you know, an event like this, you've probably done something in your life. You know, you've overcome something, you've achieved something, you've got to a certain standard, you've learned something, you've improved in certain areas. So the chances are, there's probably going to be other people that would feel the same, or they would want to achieve that at the very least. So what you do is take time to truly understand what the pain points are. And when I say pain points, I'm not just talking about to make more money or to get more time. Dig a little bit deeper and think about the emotional things that people attach to that. So, for example, with my posts, you'll see me talking about getting more time and freedom, but I don't just say, who wants more time, freedom? I will say, like, are you sick and tired of sitting at home on your phone, like grinding and hustling and spending all night grinding away on your mobile phone? You know, you're not spending as much time with the people that you love. You're not spending as much time doing the things that you should enjoy. And then you go into bed every single night feeling like crap because you just spent 8 hours working and got nothing to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm doing is I'm explaining where Matt was like 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing it in such a way where I'm turning that into a piece of content or something that could help somebody out, I'm giving them something to potentially follow so they don't go on the same path as me. Mm-hmm. So over time, that becomes valuable. Over time, people become hungry for stuff like that. And you can create posts and you can create groups or emails, however you choose to produce your content. But it almost always comes back to, what are people struggling with right now? What skills do I have in my life, or what expertise do I have in my life that could help people with these particular problems? And it could be anything. For me, it was marketing and social media and content creation. For other people, it might be weight loss. It might be cosmetics, skincare. It still applies. There's going to be people at a certain level that would want to achieve or get to where you're at. I mean, there's videos on the internet, how to put a post on Facebook, like literally how to put a post, like type here, click post, and they've got millions and millions of views.
Yes.
So a lot of people think, oh, I don't know anything valuable enough. There's people on the internet making an absolute killing from teaching people to tie shoelaces, teaching people different language things, like here's how you say hello in Spanish. Here's how you do this. Like just things that people would consider basic.
Yeah. Yes.
But we live in a world now where people want to know stuff. People are hungry for content. So it's about creating that content consistently for your right market to give them a trail of breadcrumbs to potentially follow. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that and spend more time in your prospect's mind rather than your own, what you'll do is you'll start to create that really good, engaging content. Because that's another mistake that people make. They talk a lot about what they think and what they feel and where they're at. And they're like, hey, I've achieved this and I've done this and I've done that. And it's called kind of like ego building. Yeah. And what they fail to understand is like, listen, your job is to take other people there, mm-hmm. not just to get there yourself and then spend the next 6-12 months bragging about it. It's to take other people there. So start thinking about like, you're here now, but what stopped you on your way? What did you struggle with? What setbacks did you have? What issues did you face? How did you feel emotionally? And the more you take time to understand that and spend the time in your prospect's mind, the better quality content you'll create, and also the better chance you've got of creating digital influence, which is the key to everything.
Yeah.
I say this all the time. You know, if you've got great influence, people will click your link. People will go to your webpage. People will join your group. People will book in a call with you. If you don't have influence, you could be the most talented person on planet Earth and have the most amazing offer or product. Yeah. No one's going to take the action. You know, so you have to build that influence up over a period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. And so for people who are just kind of trying to like, you know, figure out a strategy to collapse time and, you know, maybe get out of their inbox a little bit, are there a couple tips you would recommend for kind of like qualifying your leads?
So one thing you can do, I mean, there's multiple different ways. One thing you can do is a Facebook group. So I'll just pick out Facebook because it's the most popular social media, right? So Facebook. So one thing you do is a Facebook group, for example. So let's say for argument's sake, I'm in a weight loss company. I'll use weight loss as an example because if we've got network marketing listed, network marketers listen to this, health and wellness is the most popular network marketing company by far, I think. So you know, if I say that, I'm probably going to resonate with the most amount of people. So if I, let's say I've got a magical milkshake that helps people to lose weight, right? If I try and sell the milkshake, it's going to be very difficult without me overloading on the fact that I love this milkshake. It's great. Now, that can come across in two different ways. You see people on the internet, they're like, hey, this milkshake's amazing. That only means anything if people care about the person that's saying that.
Mm-hmm.
If Kim Kardashian said that, cool, let's all go buy the milkshake. If Sandra from Scotland, who nobody's ever heard of, says that, no one gives a shit, right? And in the kindest possible way, that's just the reality of this.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need is we need the influence. So what I would do is, right, if I've got a product that helps people to lose weight, let's try and help people as much as I can without selling the product. Mm-hmm. So I will be thinking about like diets, recipes, ideas, you know, different lifestyle changes, importance of metabolism, the importance of water intake, how your body reacts in certain different ways. I might talk about thermogenesis or whatever, how the body works, right? How we break down energy. I could talk about all of this stuff and I could educate people on this. And what that's going to do over a period of time is create the desire of, wow, that person seems to know their stuff. If I want to lose weight, I need to go to that person,
mm-hmm.
you know? So what I can do is I can set up my branding on my profile, say I help people to lose weight. Try and get as particular as you can. Don't just be, hey, I help you to lose weight. You know, try and get really specific. Like I would, if it was me and I was building a weight loss company, I'd be like, listen, here's how dad's 30 odd years of age can lose some weight without even going in the gym. Or here's how to shift your dad body the next 6 months without stepping foot in the gym.
Yeah.
Right? Click this link below. That link will take them to my Facebook group. And that Facebook group, I'll have recipes, diet tips, talk about understanding the body and how it works, a bunch of freebies, Facebook lives, all this type of stuff. If I create that group, number one, that's going to qualify prospects. Because why would people join a group for weight loss if they have no intention of losing weight?
Yeah.
Also, because I'm being specific, like dads over 30, like me, who want to lose weight, I know I have something in common with them. So instead of just like contacting 100 random people on Facebook and just hoping and praying that they buy from me, which is extremely unrealistic, but it's something that like 90% of people do these days, I know I've got something in common. So I'm like, yeah, I'm a dad too. Yeah, I'm 30 odd too. I know how it feels. I can't be bothered to go to the gym either. Yeah, I'd love to go, but I just don't have the time. Yeah. I think that's great. Oh, yeah, I would love to have, I'd love to have a good diet. But you know what? By the time I've got back from work and I stand in front of the cooker, I've got time to even think about what I'm going to cook. Never mind cook anything healthy. I know how you feel because I'm there. I've been there. I've been on that process, right? So what you can do then is create a Facebook group. Your Facebook group can have three questions in part of the settings. Question one could be, where did you hear about this group? Question two could be, you know, what is it about weight loss or what? Where are you at into your journey? What are you looking for? And question three could be a giveaway or something in terms of like, you know, to collect people's email addresses.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm doing is by creating that mini little system, if you like, number one, I'm qualifying the person because I know they want to lose weight. Because like I said, why would they be there? Number two, I'm creating a level of common ground. Like I said, we've got that common ground between us. And number three, the most important thing of all, they're actually telling me their problem up front.
Yes.
Now, when I go back like 8 or 9 years ago, we'd have to do a lot of things, and I'm sure some people have been taught this, build rapport and try and find out their problems. That is extremely difficult, because who the hell is going to open up and tell a stranger on Facebook their problems in life?
Yeah.
Nobody, right? It's just awkward. And also, if somebody reaches out to me and they're asking me a ton of questions, I'm like, listen, calm down, Chris Tarrant. Like, this isn't Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. What's going on here? It feels more like an interrogation, you know? So if we create what people want and what they're looking for anyway, focus on the people that are looking for solutions and give them a ton of content and value up front, we're not only building massive amounts of digital influence, so we're now positioning ourselves as somebody that's worth listening to, we're also moving them along that sales process without them even realizing it. You know, if they join my group and give me their email address, they've already done 10 times more than a stranger. So if I want to sell something today, who do I contact? Strangers on the internet or the 100 people inside my group have given me their email address, tell me their problems, and I know I've got something in common with them. So yeah. I still will send a message, but the chances of me selling something on the back end is like 10 times higher. So that is one method that you could utilize. But like what I'm trying to get at is, number one, it's about the brand. Mm-hmm. Use your brand to qualify people, but also qualify people out. You need to tell people who it's for, but also who it's not for.
Yes.
A lot of people these days will say, oh, it's a product for everybody. That's absolute nonsense. There's no such thing as a product for everybody.
Yeah.
Water is a product for everybody, but some people don't drink water because they don't like it, or they get nothing from it. They'd rather drink beer or whatever, right? But the point I'm trying to make is there's no such thing as a product for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely no, if I've got the world's most amazing piece of steak that the world has ever seen, that's great, you know, if I'm standing in front of people that love steak.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm standing in front of vegetarians, then it doesn't matter how amazing it is.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to buy it anyway. So there's no such thing as a product for everybody. So you've got to have the confidence to say, here's who I'm helping. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm helping them with. Here's the people I'm not really helping. You know, I'm not really helping these type of people because I've got nothing in common with them, or I can't help these people. And here's where you can find the content that's going to help you out, or here's where you can find the next stage.
Yeah.
And then the more hoops they kind of jump through, they give you their email address, they join your Facebook group, they respond to your message, they maybe jump on a video, they maybe subscribe to your YouTube channel or whatever it might be, that person is becoming more and more qualified as a prospect.
Mm,
you know, so if I'm sitting in front of somebody like that, I know they're serious.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not wasting my time with randoms on the internet, taking time away from my wife and my kids. I'm spending time with people that stand a very good chance of helping me to build my business.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. And you know, the niching piece, like that finding who your who is, which has been mentioned throughout and other speakers too. It's interesting because I think there's another kind of fear or myth that, well, if I go too small, there's not going to be enough people. But I have seen the most like specific niches, and they are like rocking it, like the craft niches and the knitting niches and the dog coaching niches and the like. There is a niche. So if you're in any field right now, you know, there is a niche for you, and it is unbelievable what the people who really know who their who is. It's unbelievable. Like, you just, I mean, I'm in a group just watching this one lady, and I have nothing to do with what she does, but I know I met her through another group, and it's cows. Like, she's she grows, and I don't even know the right terminology. She grows and sells cows, but the way she does her group, I feel like I know what she's talking about, and I'm not even in that industry.
But the thing is, like, the more specific you are, the more chance you've got of being found.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I'll give you an example. When my daughter was born, she was quite ill. She was in hospital for the first couple of months. She had operations. She stopped breathing 5 times. And we was introduced to something called, osteotherapy, right? Which is a form of sort of like massage and movements in the body to help her with her breathing, because she had issues with her breathing.
Yeah.
So we went onto Facebook and we was like, osteotherapy, try and spell that, Matt. Good luck. Osteotherapy for parents, or osteotherapy for newborns. So we searched for that, and we found a group of 1,000 odd people who were sharing insight, ideas, tips, etc. But the point we're trying to make is, because we wanted something in particular, and because something was named something in particular, there was only one place for me to go.
Yeah.
Right? If I'd have been looking for, like, you know, health tips to help babies with respiratory problems or something like that, because it's so general, it's like you've got like asthma in there, there's different types of osteotherapy, whatever it might be. I'm thinking to myself, well, there's like 10 different groups here. Which one do I join? Like, for example, if you put a group up saying make more money on the internet, it's like, yeah, but there's like another 1,000 groups with that title. Yeah. So which one do I join? Whereas if you created a group like something like make money on the internet without sending a single inbox for the next 3 years. Now, all of a sudden, people are like, damn, okay, I hate inboxing. I hate messaging people. I don't want to do that. How can I make some money?
Yeah.
You know, so the more specific you are, the better quality of prospect you get. And number two, the more qualified they are because they know what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for something in particular. Whereas if you're very general, and a lot of people do this, they're like, well, I'm general because I want to relate to as many people. People are obsessed with engagement these days. Like, oh, I want loads of likes and comments. I want loads of views. Guess what? Newsflash, doesn't pay your bills. You can't go and pay your bills with likes and comments. So why do people chase it like it's some form of currency? Like people will say to me, Matt, I got an extra 1,000 views this week. I'm like, awesome. How many of those was your target market? Because if there's only like 3 of them, then it was pointless. You might as well have had 3 views.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like chasing all stuff like that. You want quality. You know, you want quality people. They're out there. They're on the internet. They're looking for stuff.
Yeah.
And the more specific you can be, the more chance you've got of somebody that's like, no, I'm looking for this right now. Like now I specialize in content. That doesn't mean I don't cover mindset. That doesn't mean I don't cover sales. That doesn't mean I don't cover all this stuff. But I say to myself, I'm a content creation expert because the people on the internet are like, how do I get more people to, you know, invest in me? How do I build a bigger audience? How do I build a brand? How do I get qualified leads? Well, maybe I need to create better content. Where should I go? Oh, there's a guy over here that specializes in content creation. Maybe I should contact him. Whereas if it was just like, hey, I'm a business coach or hey, I'm a mindset coach, it's like, yeah, but what do you actually do?
Mm-hmm.
It creates more questions than what it answers because you're so general. And because you're so general as well, it kills any chance of creating quality content. Because what will happen is every time you try to create a piece of content, you'll always be thinking about the people that you're not speaking to. And this happens a lot, right? Where people are like, they want to create content, but they're like, well, what about this person? I mean, or they'll say something like this. Well, 3 years ago, this person, let's say we're going to market to females. They're like, yeah, but what about the male that purchased from me last year? I don't want them to think that they can't buy from me anymore. I'm like, you're worried about one person in comparison to the thousands of people that you will relate to by saying, I want to help females. You know, so it's scary and it's worrying, but what it allows you to do is kind of have something in common. And because you know who you're speaking to, you also know some elements of their pain points, their emotional struggles, what they've got issues with, what they're facing right now, or what's in front of them that they're afraid of, which gives you all the ammunition that you need to create your content.
Yeah.
So the more specific you are, the better you are for your market, the better it is for your branding, and the easier it is to create content long term because you're just focusing on one particular demographic or psycho demographic.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And it's funny because that objection of, well, what about that one person comes up so often. And, you know, I have people who come and contact me all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean like my target is more women, moms running businesses. I mean, that's who I am. I can't change that. So I, you know, my audience is, you're right. It's people who are like me, have the same challenges. But that doesn't mean that I've never worked with any men. It doesn't mean that I don't work with people who don't have kids. It just means that that's my primary. And then other people like, well, I really like how she says that or how she does that. And then they get in touch. But yeah, it's really good. It's really good point. The other thing I'd love to, kind of a myth that I feel like people feel like they have to have massive audiences to make money. And that's not true. Like they're, it's all relative to what's your capacity? What are you selling? You know, what's your service that you're offering? And, you know, I love this one post you did where it just gave an example of 15 people, you know, so say 15 new people came into your group, but it was really great. I guess just showing that it doesn't have to be 100,000. It doesn't have to be 1,000. It doesn't, you know, it can be, you can start small and you can really still create connections, make conversions in a small group of people.
100%. So like an example of this would be, for example, like Reels. Reels are great right now, but the big issue with Reels is they just push them out to almost anybody. There is an element of like targeting, like they will try and get the right type of people, but there's still a large percentage of just like, let's just throw this out there and see what happens, right? So for example, a perfect example of this would be, let's say I put a random Reel up on Facebook and I get 1,000, I'll tell you what, on YouTube Shorts. So let's say I create a YouTube Short and I get 10,000 views, right? What have I learned from that? Okay, I've got 10,000 views. Does that mean people enjoyed the content? I don't know. Does that mean the right type of people viewed the content? I don't know. Does that mean people took something away from the content? I don't know, because all I have is 10,000 views. 10,000 views is not a reflection of whether that was something useful to build my business or not. Some people are like, wow, that's exposure. But yeah, that's exposure if it's the right type of people that want to buy something from you. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just extremely popular with a bunch of people that are never going to invest in you. Yeah. Good luck to you. Good luck to you with that. Like, yeah, you're, what you're doing there is you're building your ego. You're not building your business, mm-hmm. right? So an example would be, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put a YouTube video up with certain keywords, certain phrases, and certain tags. So the only time people are going to, that's not going to get 10,000 views. It might only get 50. But if people find that video, they're searching for words in particular. Mm-hmm. Like, my Facebook group doesn't work. How do I make sales?
Mm-hmm.
My YouTube shorts are a waste of time. How can I convert them into a selling strategy? How can I do? They're looking for something in particular. I would rather have 50 people that know what they're looking for and looking for something in particular than 10,000 people, and I've got to send a message to them, ask them the name of their dogs, their cats, and their hamsters, pretend to be their best friend to try and figure out whether this person's going to buy from me or not. You mm-hmm. know, 10 times more exhausting. Yes, more people, but that doesn't mean anything at all. And I think that's a big problem in the industry right now as a whole. The online marketing industry is people are obsessed with trying to build their ego rather than trying to actually do something where they can create some sort of influence on a particular market. Like, and you see this a lot now where, and this is one thing that'll drive me absolutely insane, is you get a lot of these like engagement coaches now. And I'm going to go there. I'm not too bothered. Like you get a lot of this stuff where it's like, hey, we're engagement coaches. Like, you'll get more engagement on your profile. And then you go to their profile, they've got like 600 likes and comments and posts, and you're like, wow, that's awesome. But then when you scroll down and actually look at the people that are commenting, they're people that have also invested in the same affiliate program, or the person that have invested in the same course or the same group of like, hey, here's how we increase engagement. So like, what they've got is like, they've created this illusion of like, hey, engagement means more sales.
Mm-hmm.
But that couldn't be any further from the truth, because 300 of those comments are from people that are never going to buy from that person. Right. So again, I think what people have to do is like, instead of getting so caught up in this whole thing, because let's just be honest, like, I've not even covered it from a mental health point of view yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, social media in large is toxic. Social media is one of the main reasons now why, here in the UK in particular, one in three people experience some form of mental health problems.
Mm-hmm.
That is down to social media. It's got a very integral part into our life now. It's become part where our phones are glued to our hands. It's influencing us constantly. We're scrolling through content constantly. We have a lot of people these days talking about things like ADHD. There's an element of that for sure. But listen, if you scroll through content all day, every day, guess what? It affects your attention span and your ability to concentrate on stuff. Yes. So do you have an issue, or do you just have an issue with how much you use your phone? So like, you can pay into this whole thing of like being really popular and getting loads of likes and comments, but it's an extremely unhealthy, toxic trait that is probably going to leave you with a lot of unhappiness in your life. Because if you get 300 likes, I guarantee you'll want 400, 500, 600.
Yes.
So rather than going down that route and playing that game, I don't bother with that. I don't give a shit if people hate me. I don't care if I've only got 15 likes or 20 comments. I don't care, because guess what? That's 20 people I know I can help. Mm-hmm. I would rather have 20 people I know for an absolute fact that I can help than 10,000 people where they're just following me for the sake of it or whatever, and I don't even know whether this person's going to buy from me or not.
Yeah.
So if I can say anything today to these people listening, don't get caught up in this nonsense we got going on right now. Take a big step back and think, right, do I want to play this game of fake ego building on Facebook, like trying to impress a bunch of strangers that I'm never going to meet? Or do I want to put some food on the table for my kids? Do mm-hmm. I want to pay for the roof over my head? Do I want to build a business? Because if you want to build a business, the absolute basics, if you're going to make it on social media, is who you're speaking to, what problems are they facing, what can you provide in tangible value up front so you can build trust and rapport and posture, and these people can actually see you as somebody that can help them out. Yes. And number four, what rock solid offer have you got which is irresistible to that clientele? If you don't have those four things, you don't have a business. What you've got is a hobby, and it's probably a time consuming one at that.
Love it. That's so true. It is so true. Turning this business into a hobby. And you know, that whole, I even see like the people who are, you know, I don't, we all follow someone in the industry who's got the big audiences, who's got this. And they even say, the posts that get all my engagement, those are entertainment. People are not buying from that post. Right. They're entertaining. So, you know, someone who comes to mind, Jenna Kutcher. So she's someone I follow. She's a mom. She's, you know, body image things. You know, they've struggled to have fertility, all these different things. Those topics get a lot of feedback, but those are not the ones that sell her course. Those are not the ones who sell our thing. The people relate to the human side of that, and that's important. But all those likes and stuff, she says it's the ones that get no engagement, that are really small. Those are the ones that actually pay the bills. Those are the ones that are getting
people. Well, it was my birthday yesterday. I was the most popular person on planet Earth on Facebook, right? I had fucking 500 people writing on my wall. Guess how many sales I made from that? Zero. You know? So it's like, it's nonsense. Like, and then I'll create a post where it have like 10 likes. But like those 10 likes, if I reach out to those 10, if I create a post that's really specific, and I do this quite a lot where I'll speak in depth about like the feelings and emotions of building a business, I'll probably share more about the truths about what entails and why business sucks than most people. Because everybody's still trying to sell this big image, like being an online business owner is the best thing you can ever do. It is one of the best things you can do, and it is also one of the worst things that you can do. Like, I will say now, having your own business is 100 times more stressful than going to work. Like, and as much as these people put it online and stuff, listen, like I've got stuff to pay. I've got premises. This is an office. I rent this. It costs me money every single month. Mm-hmm. I pay taxes, two or three different types of tax. I've got staff. I've got people to pay. I've got money coming out of my ears, like paying out. I have to earn X amount of money just to break even every month. Yeah. I didn't have a lot of stress in a day job. All I do is turn up. I was drunk half the time. You can do whatever you want, right? It doesn't matter. You're still going to get paid. You turn up and be lazy if you want. As long as you're good at hiding, the boss doesn't see you, you're still going to get paid anyway. I can't do that in business. If I'm lazy and I turn up drunk in this chat today, you guys aren't going to want to follow me or work me or anything. So there's an element of responsibility, and there's an element of sort of like a lot comes with running a business. But the thing is, if I put a post up and I'm very specific about the problems and I only get 10 likes or comments, I could reach out to those people and say, hey, listen, thanks for like today. I really appreciate you taking time to like a post. Like, how are you getting on? How's things in business? Mm-hmm. And then straight away, I'm into the conversation of, how can I help you out?
Yeah.
Whereas if I put a post up something like, hey, here's a picture of my dog, and I get like 300 likes, like, how do I turn that into conversation? Hey, thanks for liking my dog. Do you want to make some money on the internet? It doesn't make any sense, right? It's like what you've got there is like, it's great, but it's building your ego, not your business. Like, and I've done this in the past where I've made like five figures in income from posts that have had like 10 likes, 20 likes. Mm-hmm. And then I've had people who I know full well that have had posts consistently with more engagement than me that don't make any money. Mm-hmm. Because they're still chasing the likes. They're doing that thing what I spoke about earlier. I got 200 likes yesterday. I need to find someone else that's going to live up to that. I need to do this. Whereas what I'm thinking is, right, I got 10 people yesterday by speaking about this particular problem. Mm-hmm. Do I speak about that exact problem again to see if there's anybody else that I could pick up? Or do I put a slight change in that problem? Or do I adjust the title, adjust the call to action, adjust the image? What can I do with my marketing to get another 10 people today or 20 people today? You don't need thousands of people to change your life. You only mm-hmm. need a couple of people a day. There's so many people listening to this right now. If you're in marketing, if you recruited one person a day, that's probably more than 99% of the industry right now. So like, instead of worrying about thousands of people, why don't you just find one great person a day? Mm-hmm. It's like, if I took on one client a day, I'm cool with that. I can freaking live with that for the rest of my life. I'm happy with that. One client per day. I don't need 100,000 people. I don't need to be the most popular person on Facebook. I need to find one person for my services. So mm-hmm. if I create great quality content that is specific, I can reach out to the people that engage. I'm already have that common ground because we're talking about the posts that they just liked. I don't need Icebreaker. I read a book once called Icebreakers, like 300 different ways to start a conversation. You don't need 300 different ways to start a conversation. Hey, thanks for life today. I really appreciate you taking time to do that and read it. It means a lot to me. How's things with you? Okay, what did you like about the post? What are you struggling with? Let me see if I can help you out. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, you're in my Facebook group. I've got a Facebook group over here. We don't hold prisoners. So if you think it sucks, you can leave. But you can come and check it out. And if you learn some more about weight loss or you learn some more about business, then awesome. They're like, yeah, thanks. They answer the question. They just told me their number one problem. They've just given me their email. Mm-hmm. Then emails, I can send out automatic emails to them. Hey, here's a course to help you with X, Y, Z. I'll catch up with you tomorrow to see how you're getting on. Hey, mm-hmm. that's awesome. I didn't get on with the course yesterday. Here's a little booklet to help you out as well. Day three, I could say, hey, I hope all this information has helped you. At this point, you can either crack on with what you've got, or if you like, why don't you book in a phone call, see if I can help you out even further. Mm-hmm. Everything leads on to creating customers, conversions, sales, because I need to be able to do that to be the best I can be. A lot of people these days are obsessed with like not being a salesperson. I don't want to be a salesperson. Well, I'll tell you what, go and build a charity then. Like, why are you trying to build a business if you don't want to be a salesperson? Mm-hmm. I could be the best coach on planet Earth. If I cannot sell my coaching, I'm going to help nobody. And if I've got an amazing weight loss product or an opportunity, if you can't sell that, you're going to help nobody, right? So you've got to be able to sell. You've got to get comfortable with selling, but selling in the right way. So you know people are qualified. You know they're interested. You're giving them options. They're picking the choices that suit them. You're benefiting, and so are they. They're happy because they're getting what you're talking about, what you're promising, I'm happy because I'm getting paid. Everybody's a winner when we play down this route. When we play down that route, what we end up with is awkward conversations. Why is this person talking to me? Oh, this person's really pushy. Oh, this is really awkward. Oh, the only reason you spoke to me is because you want to sell me something. That route's awkward. If you go to the route of engagement, you end up with a lot of random people. They're not suitable to buy from you. They're not ready to buy from you. That's why the industry gets hate. That's why, is because people are so fascinated with getting everybody than getting somebody. And that, to me, is what makes or breaks this industry, is you get people that just target anybody with a heartbeat. They're not suitable. They're not interested. And some of these people are like a dog with a bone. They don't give up on that. They're like, they keep going until the person is interested, or they keep offering until the person gives up or batters people into submission, into buying something. That's why the industry has a bad name. It's simple. People are creating this for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I do truly believe that when you've got the qualified people, you know, you're having this conversation, even the quick one, you know, you can help them. So it feels less like selling. It feels like serving. Like you said, it's a win-win. Like, people are not just giving you money and then, you know, I don't know, they're getting a popsicle stick. Like, they're actually getting advice to build their business and create a financial future for themselves. And whatever else you do, you know, whatever you're, you know, with your health, if you're a yoga instructor, if you're, you know, every niche that someone has, if you truly believe in it, then you know you're offering them something that will make a difference in their lives. So it doesn't feel like, please buy this milkshake that I don't really believe in, but I need to pay the bills.
It's like ethical. Like, people say relationship building is ethical. So you're telling me you pretending to be somebody's best friend just to sell them something is more ethical than me creating the right type of content to qualify them to sell them something. You're telling me that's more ethical. Like, to me, what is more ethical is having the confidence and the ability in your content and your marketing to say, here's how I help. Here's what I do. Here's where you can find all more information. If you want to stalk me for a while, that's fine. Here's a Facebook group. Here's a YouTube. I find that 100 times more ethical, because these people know up front what you help them with, what solutions you offer, where they can find this information. If I go down the relationship building route and just chat to anybody, people say that's ethical because you're building relationships. You're building relationships just to sell something. So if anything, you're more fake than me, because at least I'm telling these people what I help with and what I do. You're still trying to pretend to be their best friend, and then you're going to whack them out of nowhere with a sales pitch in a week or two's time. Like, and you're saying I'm unethical. Like, to me, it's like, you've got to be confident in what you do. I mean, I speak from experience. Some people are listening to this right now and they're like, damn, this guy's probably talked to me. The only reason I'm like that is because I've been there. You know, I remember going back 6 or 7 years ago, building relationships with all these people. I had a great opportunity. I changed my life with that, a great product, but it almost always still felt like a dirty secret. It almost always felt that way. It was like, how do I get this person? How do I have a conversation with this person and keep them interested enough so when I talk about my business, they don't ghost me, or they don't get away with me? Or, I don't want this person to think it's a scam, or I don't want this person to think I'm trying to get one over them, and I want this person to see what I'm... It was a very toxic way of doing things. Like, you're always thinking, get people, do this, sell to people, do this, do that. Whereas now, I create a piece of content, who's ready for it? Here's the content. If you're engaging with that content, I know you're interested. It makes my life 100 times easier, you know, rather than having that sort of very toxic, because what happens is, because you're speaking to thousands of people, a lot of them are not ideal for what you do. So you become more desperate. So you're taking more and more action, but the more and more action you take, the more and more desperate you become, and the harder it becomes to sell. I mean, the best way I can explain this, it's like having a beach ball in a swimming pool. Say that beach ball is the person you're going to sell to. You need to get that person, you need to sell to them, right? If you swim to that beach ball as hard as you possibly can, the waves that you create in the pool will naturally push that beach ball away. So the harder you swim, the harder it becomes. And that's what happens with people's prospecting. They're like, yeah, message 50 people a day. Let's go. Ah. And they send all these messages, reeks of desperation, because it is desperate. Number two, because you've got this crazy scattergun approach. There's no real care to what you're doing. And number three, you're not really valuing people. They say, well, we'll build relationships. No, you're forcing yourself to ask questions. That's what you're doing. You're not building relationships. You're forcing yourself to ask questions. So, like, that's the beach ball. Whereas if I wanted to get this beach ball, if I sat on the side of the pool and I'm like, I'm kind of confident with physics and the way things work. If I just splash this water here, eventually the beach ball is going to bob around and come to me anyway. Mm-hmm. You know? And that, to me, is what it's all about, is having the confidence in what you offer and what you do. So you're not that aggressive, like, you know, almost impossible to get rid of salesperson that's landing in people's inboxes and ruining everybody's life, because that's in effect what people are doing. You know, it's getting to the stage now where people hate people in our industry, like genuinely hate them. I see it on profiles where, like, do not add me if you sell anything. I hate you, and stuff, this type of stuff like that, right? I'm like, well, these people are bought it on themselves. And then they go on Facebook and complain about it. Oh, why are people so negative? Well, maybe if you stop trying to befriend everybody and trying to sell them everything you can under the sun, maybe people think more of you. You know, and that to me is we have a responsibility. You know, if we think of the online industry as a whole, I think we have a responsibility to step things up, which is why I love stuff like what you're doing here, because you're giving people the knowledge and information they need. We're not just saying, hey, you're silly for doing that. You're like, hey, that's not a good way of doing it because I did it years ago. Here's an alternative method. You know, here's what you can do to make your life easier and your prospects. And I think we've all got that. And that's why I say create content. Don't just listen to this summit and go like, wow, 20, 30 great speakers, awesome, amazing. 10, 15 people are going to change my life. Walls were amazing. Take notes. Don't teach this to somebody else. If you've learned something great, there's going to be somebody else out there that want to learn that. The only thing I did, sat in the front of every single event I could, invested as much as I could, took loads and loads of notes, read loads and loads of books. There's only a few here. There's loads at home. That's all I did was like learn all this stuff. And I guarantee if I want to learn it, there's probably a bunch of other people that do as well. You know, and I found my own way along the way as well, my own journey, my own up and forth. Like, you know, all the things about like the drugs and the mistakes I made and the mishaps and the mental health and failing suicide twice, all the stuff that I've done in my life and where I've been, that's all allowed me to give me the knowledge to create the content that emotionally moves people. So and we've all got a story. We've all got a background. We've all got something to give. Put that into your work. So you're not worried about competition. People are obsessed with competition these days. If you got the reason why you're obsessed with competition is because you're selling the same as everybody else. I don't give a shit about competition because guess what? There's nobody else out there like me. Yeah. They might be teaching the same stuff and they might be talking about the same things, but nobody talks like me, acts like me, dresses like me. And whether that's a good or a bad thing, I'm going to leave that to the audience. Whatever, right? Like, there's nobody else out there. Like, I don't have competition. All I've got to do is worry about being the best I can be. And if somebody wants to work with somebody else, that's their prerogative. That's fine. We don't need to get everybody because guess what? There's 3 billion people on Facebook alone. Which, try and count to a billion. Actually, don't. Very bad idea. Continuous counting takes like over 92 years of continuous nonstop counting to count to 1 billion. That means if me and you was to sit down and try and count everybody on Facebook, it would take the best part of 300 years. We'd be long gone. Like a nonstop counting. That's right. So there's plenty of people. There's no shortage of people. You just need to find the right people for you. And I guarantee if you create content, the right branding, etc., that'll be a lot easier than trying to be everybody's best friend and interrogate everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Love it. It's such a great way to just wrap up. Be you. Everybody else is taken. So be you. Exactly. Be clear on what you do, which I know some of us are still figuring that out who are listening today, but that's okay. Keep digging deeper. Keep like thinking about, like Matt said, who were you 3 years ago? You only have to be 2 steps ahead to teach something that you learned 2 years ago. And, you know, listen, take notes and try. It's not, I'm sure every post you've done, you'd be like, look back 3 years, like, oh, I can't believe I posted that. You know, it's, we all learn, we all adapt, we all change, but you really don't have to be a Kardashian to be successful online. You really don't have to have millions of followers. I love just that simple, you know, figure out your who. Be honest, be consistent, be authentic. Matt does that super well. And there's actually a link below this page as we wrap up that you can go and find his, what do you call it? Your Matt's help page. I love the name of it.
Yeah, it's just simple. Like, again, like you get a lot of capture pages with loads and loads of writing. There's one video. It's just simple. It's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to continue to stalk me because you don't know me? That's fine. Here's my YouTube. Here's my Facebook group. Do you want help right now? Here's a questionnaire. Let me find out more about your business and let's jump on the phone the next couple of weeks and see what I can do to help you. That's basically how I work. It's very upfront, very honest, because I don't want people reading through pages and pages and pages of self-loathing or why I'm great and why I'm amazing. So whether they consume my content or not, it's all there in black and white. And you guys can stalk me as much as you like on Facebook and YouTube and see if I actually know what I'm talking about or not.
Yeah. And I think the funny thing, I guess, that people, like, if you join a group, you can leave a group, just like Matt said. So, you know, it's not like you are holding anybody hostage to invite them to your page, because I know people feel fear around putting out offers, putting out invites. It's just that. It's just an invite. And if someone doesn't take it, that doesn't mean that it was wrong. It just means that maybe it's not the right fit right now. And if someone, you send someone an email, I hear this all the time, well, I don't want to email them. I don't want to bother them. But you know what? They can also unsubscribe. They can also delete your email. Like, it doesn't have to be.
I always say this to people. The best way I can explain this is like being an air hostess. Being a marketer is like being an air hostess. You know, an air hostess has multiple different jobs, but one of their job is to walk down that trolley in the middle to see if people want tea or coffee or whatever it might be, right?
Yeah.
They will speak to every single person on the left and every single person on the right. They are their ideal target market. Everybody's going on holiday. Everybody's going the same place. Everybody's thinking the same thing, moving in the same direction. We're all on the same plane, right? So it's a perfect place to make an offer. I'd imagine that a lot of people want a drink right now, or maybe a beer or something, right? So they walk down the middle and they're like, to a coffee, sir, or beverage, or wine, or beer. And they ask every single person. That person can say yes or no. If they say no, you don't see the air hostess going, oh, this is horrendous. This is a scam. This is bullshit. No one's ever going to buy anything from me. They don't do that because they know full well there's plenty of other people on this plane. And just because that person doesn't want a drink, it doesn't mean the person next to them doesn't want one. You know? So that's the way I look at things. It's like a business offer. Like, you're going to ask 100 odd people to take a look at something. A large majority of them will either be rude or say no or whatever, or don't take an interest. Well, you're not doing that. You're doing it for the people that do. You know, you're doing it so the people that do come off that airplane at the end and they're like, wow, that was awesome. I had a nice drink. I enjoyed myself. I had a great flight. 10 out of 10, right? And this same sort of aspect in your business, like, you're asking people and just giving them a chance because it's the right thing to do. You're not attached to that emotion of that outcome because it's not your job to make somebody do something in your life. It's just your job to give somebody a chance. And that, to me, is what it's all about, is make the chance, make the offer, and give people an out. Say to them, I send my Facebook link to people in my group, and I'm like, listen, if it sucks, just leave. Don't worry about it. It's fine. You can still, you know, I'm not going to hate you for it. Yeah. Some groups suck. Some groups are good. I know what it's like. Feel free to check mine out. If you don't like it, you can leave. It's no problem. I won't hold it against you. Yeah. And I think it comes across in a very different way to, hey, this is the most amazing group. You must be a part of. Must I? I'm an adult. I want to do the opposite, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I guess before we finally wrap up, if you were to leave listeners with one single action today, what would it be?
So if I was to leave people the action, what I would do is take one big massive step back from your business and think to yourself, what type of prospect would make your life easier? So, like, if you want people that are ready to take action, you want people that feel a particular way or have an interest in a particular thing, start creating the content that will attract those type of people. You know, spend time. Like, the one thing I will say is, don't always market to people that you're trying to sell to. So, like, if you're trying to constantly put offers out there, you're speaking to probably 5% of your market. 5% of the people right now are probably ready to buy something. That means 95% of them either don't know you exist, don't know what they want in life, or are in some form of research or looking for something or checking things out, reading the reviews, whatever they're up to. So focus on marketing to the 95%. Don't just keep trying to sell stuff constantly. Take time to nurture the 95%, teach them something, learn them something, take them somewhere, make them feel a particular way. And if it feels good and they learn something, they get something from you, they'll keep coming back. They'll keep checking out what else you've got available, what else you're posting. If you just run your business in such a way where it's like, hey, here's this, take it or leave it. Do you want to buy, yes or no? You're going to burn a lot of bridges, and those people are going to go elsewhere to find the content that they're looking for. Everybody's looking for content these days.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I know you have got a million things you're juggling, and I really appreciate the time you took to speak to our listeners. I hope you all took something away from this. I know every time I read your posts, I'm just like, I just love it. So, and I consume a lot of content. So that's saying something. So definitely click the link, head over, check out Matt if you wish to join his group. I highly recommend it. And also you can hop over to the Facebook group if you have any additional questions, and you can also just share your feedback and thoughts and maybe your experience on what's one hurdle that you're trying to get over, and we can all help you get over that hurdle together, because I believe you have something to offer just like all the rest of us here at this summit. So thanks so much, Matt, and have an amazing day. Okay.